Good morning, and thank you for standing by. Welcome, everyone, to CPFL Energia fourth quarter of 2010 earnings result. We will have Mr. Wilson Pinheiro Jr., CEO and CPFL Energia, and Mr. Lorival Luz, CFO and IRO, and other officers of the company. The call is being broadcasted simultaneously through the Internet at www.cpfl.com.br/IR, where you will find the presentation for downloading. We inform that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Afterwards, there will be a Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during this call, please press star zero for an operator. I would like to mention that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements that might be made during this call regarding CPFL Energia's assumptions are beliefs as assumption of CPFL Energia's management and information currently available to the company, and they are being made under safe harbor of the Security Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may also affect the future results of CPFL and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Ferreira, you may proceed. Good morning. Thank you very much, investors, analysts that follow us in this conference call for 2010 results and the fourth quarter earnings result as well. I would like to start my presentation trying to talk to you about the year results, and in this evaluation I would like to put a result that we consider very good, which are the effect of the IFRS norms that change one way or another the results of the company. So I preferred to, first of all, to make this conciliation of the annual results because this is the basis for us to evaluate the results for the fourth quarter. I would like to start by the evaluation of our sales over all the previous quarters. We saw that there was a hike in the sale of energy, and on the upper part you can see our concession areas of the 8 distribution companies of the group. Energy consumption increasing by 7.2%, totaling 52,000 gigawatt hour sold in these areas, made up by sales to the captive market increasing by 3.8% a year, and in a process of recovery, given the year of 2009, the free market increasing by 19% in this period, reaching 12,794. And you can see on the right the last consideration of the pro forma of the CAT-97 result, a resolution of the state of São Paulo, a tax replacement, which mandated us to post sales on the first day of the month, and this was in the last quarter of 2009, the reason for which over the whole year of 2010 we carried out this conciliation, and it will no longer be necessary as of 2011, although the results are quite similar, as you can see. An important highlight in the sales of the concession areas is a 7.3% growth overall. Residential and commercial continue to be strong over the whole year of 2010, 5.2% residential and 6% in commercial. And undoubtedly, the major highlight for the industrial segment, which is in recovery now and which led to an increase which was almost 10%. On the right, we will see the total sales of energy, and I would like to remind you that total sales are the ones in which the company sends a bill to consumers for the consumption of energy, so basically those in the captive market that we referred to a while ago. about 39,250 gigawatt hours in 2010, a 3.8% increase vis-à-vis 2009, driven basically by the low and medium voltage segments, and free market dropped last year by 2%, totaling 13,000 gigawatt hours. But here it is important to see that in 2009, we had a non-recurring effect, as we call it today, which was the important sale in the adjustment auction for distribution companies. And at the time, the commercialization companies were able to deliver to this market, and the regulation was changed over time, and this event was not repeated in 2010. And even considering this fact, we have major sales here, which replaced or offset the effect of the adjustment auction in the free market, as you can see, going up by 19%. Overall, sales billed by our company, and here we involve distribution companies and commercialization companies, we reached 52,245 gigawatts hour, year-on-year, 2.3% increase. On the lower part of the slide, we see the evolution in the concession area, and 2009 becomes very clear here because the results were maintained, and the strong growth that we saw in 2010, growing by 7.3%. Now we are going to the next slide, slide number 3. And we will make a comparison of the result based on the Brazilian GAAP and with the major adjustments promoted by the adoption of the IFRS rules. So let us start with our net revenues, such as we always do. Then we are going to talk about EBITDA and then net income on an annual basis. And afterwards, we will get into the conventional presentation evaluating our results for the last quarter. So let us start with our net revenues. In the previous standard, the Brazilian GAAP standard, we see a 3.7% growth in our sales, reaching 10,961,000,000 reals. And in 2009 and 2010, with the adoption of the IFRS standard, we can see some adjustments that were made stemming from the adoption of the different CPCs, over 60, 67 CPCs, which ultimately led us to these changes. And I will highlight the three most important ones, and you will see that the impact of the other ones were irrelevant, and you can see here in others. So I think it is important to stress three elements deriving from this adjustment. The first one is the adoption of consolidation of ownership. In all our ownerships in generation, exception made to CIDA, we adopted, according to the principles of the IFRS, the proportional consolidation. The only asset of ours where we had full consolidation was Iran, where we have 65% ownership, and stemming from the shareholders agreement that we have at CIDAN, we had the consolidation at 100%. So we incorporated as revenues, and we will have to do this with our cost side as well. The result deriving from this higher share of 65%, which will be as equity income on the last line of the balance sheet. But it is important to stress that in 2009 and in 2010, we had these 35% more in revenues, 73 million in 2009 and 72 in 2010. The second important element has to do with the posting of assets and liabilities, regulatory assets and liabilities. Because of 10-year agreements with CVA, we had our balance sheets preserved from these financial effects. There was no matching between the financial event and the economic event. CVA adjusted that because this was the standard adopted in order to facilitate the analysis for those who follow the energy sector, the agency established that we should go beyond the IFRS with the regulatory accounting, where these events related to regulatory assets and liabilities, namely those incorporated by the CVA, will be mentioned, itemized, and this allows us to have a correct evaluation of the performance of these concessions. Based on the new standard, we have to launch this immediately during the year, and this is the reason why here on the revenue side, we have basically the components related to the low-income subsidies, as we call them, the supplementary revenue related to the subsidies, and in this case, it is impacted by 91 million reals in a positive manner and 69 negative in 2010. The previous figure was for 2009. So you can see that this account is applied, fully applied, during the year where it occurs, in which it occurs. And the third element that we call construction revenue, this was object of many discussions based on the CPC. In the case of the electricity sector, the procedure has to do with new income from the construction activity. But as the standard requires the incorporation of this revenue, you will see that we have posted the revenue from construction, which would be, to a great extent, the proxy for investments made in the network, and we are going to remove it at the exact amount. So there is no profitability coming from the construction activity. So for 2009 and 2010, we have revenues from these investments, 616 million and 1,044 million, respectively, for 2010 and 2009, and you will see that they were fully discounted afterwards, and the other 60 procedures, more or less, are here under others. So we have 16 million and 12 million, respectively, and the effect of the adjustment in the net revenues for 2010 is incorporated in 1,063 million reals, and you can see that over 95% refer exclusively to construction revenues, and the same effect happens in 2009, which establishes, based on the new standard, the new net revenues from our activities, which goes from 10,961 million to 12,024, representing a 5.9% growth vis-à-vis the adjusted revenues for 2009, which now are 11,358 million. Very well. Now let's see page number 4 that shows the company's EBITDA. According to the Brazilian GAAP, we would be reporting a 16.9% growth, which is very good, in our EBITDA, reaching 3,232 million reals. And as we said, the EBITDA is also affected by the new accounting procedures, so which would be the variation, so that we could go from the Brazilian GAAP to the new standard of IFRS. First of all, these stemming from the revenue increase that we have just talked about, 1,062 million in 2010, 792 million in 2009. And to this, we are going to add the effect mainly of the three elements that we have just mentioned. The first one, the consolidation of Ceará. If we consolidate revenues, of course, we have to consolidate costs as well, deriving from this activity. So the adjustment is of 14 million in 2009 and 12 million in 2010. That is to say, the cost of the 35% that have already been accounted for as the CPFL stake in this asset and these are discounted here as additional costs. And here we have the non-recognition of regulatory assets and liabilities, no longer in the revenue subsidies, but in the energy costs and charges, what is clearly our graphic account, which is the CVA. You can see that in 2010, the effect is not relevant. We're talking about 91 million reals added to our results, our accounts receivable. But it is important to stress that in 2009, this becomes relevant. And you must remember that in 2008, because of the crisis, we had some effects of the crisis, and the first one was the variation, or the appreciation, in fact, of the real vis-a-vis the real. When the crisis hit us, it got to 2.5, and there was a relevant impact on the acquisition of energy, mainly what is indexed to the U.S. dollar, mainly Itaipu. This was not the only effect we had during the year. A higher dispatch from thermoelectric plants, which caused an additional cost, which was not provided for and went to the CVA, and that was received as of 2009. And in 2009, due to this recognition of the effect of the exchange rate and the additional dispatch, because of that, we had the revenue already paid for of these effects, 524 million, and in 2010, it's very light, that is to say 91 million reals, but the fact is that our results in 2009 were significantly impacted by this new accounting procedure for the year and their effect on the regulatory assets and liabilities posting. And besides, I have already mentioned construction, revenues and costs are transparent for EBITDA effects. So we put revenues on the other item and we are posting the same amount as cost of construction so that the result is zero. One offsets the other, 1.044 for 2009 and 616 for 2009. And the others are the effects that are not relevant for our balance sheet, and they refer to the other CPCs, and here we have 21 million reals in 2010 and 1 million reals in 2009. So here we have the final results based on the IFRS standard, which is substantially impacted, not in 2010. We see 118 million increase with a new EBITDA with 3.350 million, and in 2009, mainly for the non-recognition of regulatory assets and liabilities, referring for energy costs and charges, we started to report a 3,453 million EBITDA, and because of that, we can see a 3% drop according to the IFRS standard in the company's EBITDA from 2009 to 2010. And finally, now we are going to talk about our net income. In Brazilian GAAP, we would be reporting an increase in our net income of 20%, reaching 1,544 million reals. The adoption of the new standard here, as you can see in the middle, we can identify the effects that have already been considered, 118 million in the EBITDA in 2010 and 687 in 2009. And besides, now we have the consolidation of the 35% of additional stake in CERA. In what regards depreciation, the financial result, and the income tax and social contribution impact. So we have 41 million negative in 2010, and in 2009, 39 million negative. The second element is the non-recognition of regulatory assets and liabilities, the financial result and income tax and social contribution. As you can see, it was 91 positive, and the EBITDA, the financial effect, is 3 here in 2010, but in 2009 it is relevant because we were talking about over 500 million. So 2007 is the financial results stemming from this item. And now let's go to a new item, which has to do with generation depreciation based on deemed cost. This does not affect, no impact on dividends, but it occurs in 2009 and 2010, and it stems from the reevaluation of some assets, mainly our small hydropower plants, which date back to the beginning of last century. Each one is almost 100 years old, and also the Serra da Mesa asset. So this reevaluation leads to this additional depreciation, and as I said before, it does not have any impact on dividends. And because of that, we reach our net income, which is being reported today for the year of 2010. 1,560,000,000, a 16 million variation vis-a-vis the previous year, but a much higher variation of 402 million based on the IFRS. That would be 1,689,000,000. You can see that to a great extent the result is changed mainly because of the non recognition of regulatory assets and liabilities, be it on the revenue side or the EBITDA side based on the real cost of charges and energy, and be it especially in the last line because of the financial effect of the variation in this account over the year. So we are being quite didactic as to the main drivers of the result. And now I would like to talk about the results for the fourth quarter. So we are on page number 6. I'm using the same rationale to report these results. So on the left, we have the real result of CPFL Energy according to the Brazilian GAAP. On the right, already according to the IFRS standard, and I have already highlighted the annual effect. And here we are reporting indirectly for the IFRS standard and increase in revenues, 3,179,000,000, a 6% increase. And on the other hand, we see a drop in our EBITDA by 14.3%, totaling 812,000,000. And you can see that it is practically the same amount that would be reported in Brazilian GAAP. And what is changed is the result of the previous year, contaminated, of course, by the effect of the incorporation of the regulatory assets and liabilities. And there we would have a variation of about 200 million reals. So we have an increase in the results of the previous year. And this is the reason why we have this drop in 2010. And this effect is extended to our net income. So we are reporting 362 million reals in this quarter vis-a-vis 544 in the same quarter the previous year. So this means a 33.5% decrease. And it is important to stress that besides the effects of the IFRS, and as I said before, we highlight the use of regulatory assets and liabilities, we see a non-recurrent effect coming from the previous year, which is the use of the tax credit. In 2009, we used about 70 million in tax credits, and in 2010, we used about 19. So this variation of about 50 million reals is recognized here as well. Very well. So now let's go to a quick demonstration of the highlights. First, growth in our sales in the concession area. They continue to be strong, about 3.5% in the concession area. And I had already talked about the 7.3% for 2010. The results are affected by the tariff adjustments occurred over the year, and they are all reported here. a highlight in this quarter is the startup. We had already the further Chapecó startup, but at the end of the year, we had the startup of the two TPPs, the Termonordeste and Termoparaíba, totaling about 340 megawatts, where CPFL has a stake of 51%. So adding 154.2 megawatts to the power generation of the group. We announced, because of the approval by our board at the end of last month, we announced we had already won an auction for the Campos dos Ventos farms, and because of the regulation issued by the Ministry of Mines and Energy, we were able to recognize the assured energy from the wind farms. And in principle, this existed only for the reserve auction, and it was extended for the use of the source of energy, and which is very much sought in the market as a green energy, a renewable energy, to be used in the free market, namely consumers between 500 kilowatts and 3 megawatts, who have a 50% discount of additional discount of the TUSD, and this together with biomass and the small power plant, hydro power plants, they supply the market and give more competitiveness to the companies and to those consumers who are situated in these areas and in this power bracket. So in this wind farm, we have the five wind farms which are adjacent and that will be built and will be delivered on the same date, which increases our commitment with wind energy by 150 megawatts. We also reported an investment in the quarter of 524 million, about 1.8 billion in O10, amounting to the whole CapEx that we had estimated for the period. And now we are placing a new series for the next 5 years, amounting to 6.9 billion. And we had funding approved by BNDES for biomass products, Bioburiti, Bioipê, Bioformosa, and Biopedra, amounting to 970 million, besides the wind farms of Santa Clara 1, 2, 6, and Eros 6. The projects where we are building in biomass or wind already count on the respective funding by the BNDES. And we proposed a distribution of 1,260 million in dividends in 2010. And in fact, in this 1,260, we have the proposal for distribution for the supplement of 486, referring to the second half of 2010. And this would bring a dividend yield of 6.9% for the company over the past 12 months. We are announcing, and we are going to talk about the reverse split and split of shares, simultaneous reverse split and split of shares and ADRs. And this is an important action to give more liquidity to the CPFL stock because of appreciation in the last few years. And we also saw an appreciation of 6.5% in the last quarter and 25.7% in O10, going beyond the Ibovespa and the IEEE, which is the benchmark for the electric sector. And it is a satisfaction to have CPFL as a member of the ISE, which is the Bovespa Corporate Sustainability Index for the sixth consecutive year. And it is not mentioned on this slide, but as important as, we have the appointment of Lorival Nogueira Luz, as Financial Vice President and IRO of CPFL, who is accompanying us during this conference call.
It's also important to show Lorivaldo's contribution, first related to this high experience in the financial sector, 17 years, highly experienced with a solid career at Citibank, and then he also went through credit card as a professional from Citibank, And in addition, he also had the chance to be involved in the GP Group managing assets related to education in this group. As part of his previous career before joining CPFL, Lodi Vao had a relevant position in the financial group, the financial area of Votorantim Group. Lodi Vao, welcome. I'm confident you'll all be able to see how efficient he is and his great contribution to this moment in which the company is growing so well. On page 7, now we have the same sales breakdown. Now moving in the pro forma, 13.5% growth over the quarter, totaling 13,338 gigawatts hour, growing by 15% in the concession area of free clients, and virtually stable for captive consumers, reaching 9,969. So in this set of 3.5, we highlight residential 3.8, commercial 2.4, industrial 2.5, other segment 7.6, totaling 3.5. This is natural. The year was very much driven in the beginning in the recovery process. However, I think you recall it already came from the second half of 2009 following this trend. Recovery in Brazil, the upturn happened in the second half of the year, so we are comparing based on volumes that were already high stemming from this recovery. On the right, we see our performance. The south in Brazil growing by 2.8%, our asset, RGE, growing by 4.3%. In the southeast, the behavior is similar, in other words, 5.1%. In the southeast, our assets 5.6, and Brazil growing by 4.6, and we growing by 5.4. Obviously, this value is related to the left-hand bars that allow to make comparison, recurring comparisons with our market. And lastly, total sales virtually stable, a slight drop stemming from maintenance sales in the fourth quarter of the captive market for distribution companies, and as we said before, for the free sector, the same maintenance drop in 1.4, reaching 314, 15 in the captive market, and 3,000 approximately in the total and captive markets. Now here on page 8, just to give you a sense of our recovery, extraordinary macroeconomic performance in Brazil. One of the elements used for this assessment is for new job positions. We have a lower level of unemployment in the history of Brazil, in the recent history of Brazil. And here we have the effects of these positions, the total number of positions, and also positions related to trade and services. As you can see, in all regions, we see this growth over 2010. And we highlight the service area. Undoubtedly, it has proved to be one of the drivers that generates more jobs. And at the bottom of the slide, we see the highlights related to energy sales. Obviously, jobs equal investment that will require energy to manufacture goods and also services. When we consider these high figures, better behave around 6 to 8%, as you can see at the top, the impact stemming from these jobs in some of the cities served by the group. Here we can see some from Piratininga. Notice, for instance, that Piratininga grew in the number of jobs about 6.8%. For the commercial area, increasing in Itupeva 29%. Industrial increase around 40% for energy consumption for industrial, and Sorocaba and Salto Itu around 15%. These values are really, really high. For RGE, for commercial, here we have, well, it's always very strong in malls, distribution centers. They're all related to logistics. So growing by 12% in Vacari. And for industry, Santo Angelo growing 38%, Horizontina 22%, Caxias do Sul 15%. So that gives us an idea of the dynamics related to job generation for regions and municipalities as a whole. Now, on slide 9, here we have a report of EBITDA and net income from our operations. The chart shows on the extreme right and left the amounts we would have considering the previous standard, Brazilian GAAP standard. Obviously, adjustments up to the middle would be reported EBITDA, in this case 947 million reais, for the fourth quarter of 2009, out of which 201 are specifically the essence of those changes that we made recently on an annual basis to the quarterly basis. Effects are the same. And next, we have the three drivers that set variation in results from the fourth quarter of 2009 in EBITDA to the fourth quarter of 2010 in EBITDA as well. So the first thing is an increase of 0.1% in net income, 240 million reais. The main driver for the results is exactly growth into USD, considering the huge growth around 19% in the free market. However, there is a drop in sales in the free market, a drop of 1.9%, and tariff adjustments with major financial components in 2009 related to the unwinding of costs, 2008, 185 million transfer of costs. So these are the main elements that lead to 40 million reais in net income, net revenue. Now we have 10% increase with energy costs and charges, totaling 150 million, as you can see, coming from sales increase, 9.6% increase in cost of distribution companies. You can see fully all the charges and energy purchased. And there is an offset, 41 million reais, for energy purchased from Ipasa and Foz do Chapecó. I don't know if you recall, for Foz do Chapecó, from the late license, we had a delay of 44 days. And more specifically, for Ipasa, ever since the beginning of the year, we purchased this plant. We thought we would have it delivered in October, and it only happened in mid-December. So we had an additional offset, around 41 million reais for both projects, and they are fully up and running. Another increase, 7.2%, in operating costs and expenses, 25 million. It's important to highlight that compared to IGPM, growing 11.3%, and out of the 25, we have some events stemming from expansion in our capacity. So proportional cost, operating cost for Foz do Chapecó and Biomassa Baldim, the expansion of CPFL Total Operations and CPFL Serviços. We virtually doubled our capacity to collect CPFL Total. In addition to the asset inventory required by the agency for distribution companies, although the amount is non-recurring, it will be recovered in the annual tariff review. And there is a non-recurring event in the fourth quarter of 2009, which is the liability for free flow, which was positive at 17 million at the time. So there is a drop by 14.3% in IFRS, 812 million. Bear in mind that we would have a 9% increase if we were relating to Brazilian GAAP. Now on page 10, net income. For net income, here we're posting 33.5% drop in IFRS, and it stems naturally from the drop in EBITDA that we've just shown, 14.3%, a drop of 25% in the financial result, and here we have a series of actions related to liabilities and also the use of IFRS at 13 million and charges and debt updating related to indebtedness Obviously, we have higher investments, and we have additional charges coming from these major investments. There is also an increase in depreciation and amortization, 14.9%, or 25 million. For generation, there is depreciation for the concession term, also an effect of IFRS at 4 million reais, and for Foz do Chapecó, also 6 million reais. So they're both effects stemming from the new format, our new accounting format. Now we also have the result from the CESP Foundation, which is positive at 9 million reais, and also, as a result, an increase in income tax and social contribution at 8 million. And it's important to highlight that, particularly coming from the lower use of tax credits, 59 million in the variation between our status in 2009 and 2010, and more specifically over the last quarter of the year. So in other words, here we have 362 million reais over the last quarter of the year. Next, we have an additional event. We are proposing 486 million reais, and this is lower than the income for the semester, but it's directly affected by another adjustment coming from the adoption of IFRS standards, and that was an option, by the way. We decided to try and protect the company's results over time, protecting in terms of providing stability. We've had the option to recognize the actual result from the start, to have a right direction or that range around which you don't affect any accounting figures coming from pension plans. Or another option was to post results on an annual base. We decided to go for the first option. We recognized the result in late 2008. It was negative as a result of the financial downturn worldwide. So here we had an adjustment in our net equity or shareholders' equity coming from the actuarial liability at the time, and we are not going to have any annual changes because we created a new direction to provide more protection and have a balance sheet more related to our own activities rather than related to the foundation's effect. With this new proposal of 486 million reais, we have 1.1 reais per share. And if we check 2010, adding 774 to 486, we have 1.3 billion reais in 2010 at 2 reais 62 cents per share. On page 12, I just wanted to mention some topics related to the portfolio. We still maintain our leadership in distribution with excellent indexes for quality, the best in Brazil, and delinquency rates are very good, 1.27% of our net revenue. This segment last year was 2.2 billion reais for EBITDA. And as I said before, we remain leaders in this activity ahead of the second player. And we always consider the market share vis-a-vis the total sales volume coming from the stake of the group and distribution companies compared similarly with other players in the sector. The second element, we reach because of the startup of Foz do Chapecó and Epasa. Today, we are the third largest private generation company. By year-end, we had 2,396 megawatts installed capacity, and the pipeline in construction leads us to close to 3,000 megawatts. The company ranks third, and obviously with these projects, certainly we'll soon become the second private generator in Brazil. The segment last year had 809 million reais in EBITDA, and naturally here we're not including positive effects from the startup of Foz do Chapecó or Epasa, and certainly this EBITDA this year will be over 1 billion reais. Lastly, for commercialization, here we maintain our leadership. The stake is 16% in the total market in Brazil, ahead of the second player with 10%. This activity last year brought 308 million reais in EBITDA, and particularly by year-end, our growth was significant in our client, free client platform. 74% growth, 129 free clients from one year to the next. For service, added value services, we also expanded our base at 45% over last year's, coming close to 300 in this comparison. Business are fine. We're very robust and leaders in our corresponding activities. Now, we also wanted to show something important to improve our efficiency in our distribution companies. Here we had an investment, 30 million reais. We've been trying to focus on each one of our calls on these investments. Now, here we have automation measurement, 20,000 to be installed in all our clients from Group A within 24 months. It's important to show that in addition to the ability of measuring by telemeasurement, here we also have protection of our revenue. We have a set of algorithms that is more accurate to measure any kind of fraud or to identify power outage, so we can act faster and mobilize our teams to repair purposes. Not to mention that we can also have remote cutting and reconnection. This is important investment, and it's the beginning of the base to the so-called smart grid. That's an investment to be implemented in all our A base customer over the next 4 years. Now we have the wind farms. In green, we have the farms that won the first reserve auction. Investments are ongoing to be delivered in the third quarter of 2011. In red, Campos dos Ventos II, it's the only of the six farms selected in the second auction of reserve in August last year. Investment of 127 million reais. Now the decision, and we develop five remaining farms. As you can imagine, the decision is related to the synergy of the surrounding areas with the farms, including the use of the transmission grid to transport or to take energy to the market. We have additional 600 million investment, totaling 1.5 billion, considering the set of investments for wind energy and power in the group. Next, on page 15, just Epasa, that's an overview of our plant up and running. This, well, the fixed estimated revenue is 87 million reais per year. That's our forecast. Next, an assessment or a status of our investment in biomass. All in the schedule, Bioep, 40% already achieved, and in the last part of this semester, everything will be concluded. Now, also smaller investments because the plant is ready. All we have to do is to connect it to the grid. Next, Bioburiti, 50 MW of installed capacity, 57% will be ready or was ready in February. We also concluded the last part of this semester. Bioformosa, we already have 85% in February, and in the third quarter, probably we're going to start it earlier. It happens in Paraíba. Revenue expected to be 24 million reais per year. Biopedra, 12% of this plant in construction, as you can see in the photo, but startup is expected for the second half of next year. Investment over 200 million reais and revenue estimated at 33 million reais per year. Lastly, commercialization. Last year was very important in terms of developing the market and recover after the crisis with important investment in this area. We improved our capacity to serve the total network. We expanded our positions to serve our call center, and results, you can see them growing more than 90% in the revenue for Total and more than 200% for call center. Once again, assessing our CapEx. CapEx, 6.9 billion reais for the next 5 years. expected for the year, 2 billion reais, and here already including the effects of the decisions to invest, particularly related to the wind farm, 150 MW, additional megawatts. In this part in blue, we have distribution companies. In expansion and maintenance, we have a breakdown at the bottom, and in green for generation. These investments, well, if you consider the kind of projects, they were built between 18 and 24 months. We foresee something that is strongly related over the next 12 years of 2 million reais. On page 22, we have just our funding and debt rollover. In the fourth quarter, they were very significant, 2 billion reais approximately. As you can see, funding, well, we have the rollover at Epasa, particularly funding for the wind farms, Santa Clara, and also funding for TPPs, biomass, under the terms highlighted here. They are all very satisfactory and available according to the government plan. Then distribution companies CapEx, 1.128 billion reais. Here we have the figures for these instruments. The term is 3 years at 109 CDI. Lastly, page 23, the debt profile, net debt increasing 1.2 billion year-on-year. We also have additional investments in generation. Here, by year-end, we have the debt EBITDA ratio 2.4-fold, obviously excluding EBITDA from Foz do Chapecó and Epasa that begin to occur month after month. If we work on the new EBITDA, we would be speaking of a slightly lower than 2 debt EBITDA ratio. The cost of the debt, naturally, because we have better macroeconomic conditions, it goes down to 4.4, and our debt structure, 60% CDI, particularly when we have the swap that were converted to CDI. Long-term interest rates, 33% and 7% IGP, particularly related to pension plans of the company's staff. Now on page 24, we have our reverse split. 44 reais, our ADR around $80. That naturally brings restrictions when it comes to minimum lot and liquidity. The company could maybe just think about the bonus 1-2, but the proposal is slightly different that we also allow to work for improvement. We also have the incorporation of other companies from the past, and we have some shareholders that have not been identified and other shareholders with fractions. Maybe we have sometimes, well, for assets with more than one standard lot, we have about 21,000. The process of reverse split and split has the goal of making this cleaning process at the base. Reverse split happens of 10 ON shares for 1 share, and immediately we have this reverse, the split. Coming from the reverse split, we clean the base, and those who have less than 1 share is outside the base and from 1 ON to 20 shares. Naturally, we have the effect shown on the slide. Virtually, is it a bonus? 1-2 ON stock. If we check, they were yesterday 42-22, and the minimum stock is more palatable for any investment. The change in the ratio in ADRs that today is 3 ON to 1 ADR, will be 2 ONs to 1 ADR, and it will go back to similar standards to when they were issued, 79 to something around 26. Just like to remind you that the company 5 years ago during the IPO had ON at R$17.25 and $18. So we virtually reestablished our original condition, and probably we have more liquidity for ONs and ADRs, more access of individual investors, and also the effect in the standard lot, increase in the active shareholders base, and optimization of management of our stock holdings. So this was approved at the board meeting in early February, already submitted to the meeting called for April 28, the beginning of the reverse split and split in June, and ADRs and ON in the same quotation in July, and payment of these fractions up to August this year. On page 25, we can see stock performance. As we said before, performance was positive. We bet Ibovespa over the year and also Dow Jones and New York, in addition to our peers in each one of the sectors, increasing the average daily volume at 22%, maintaining in the main indexes of the stock exchange. I conclude my presentation just showing on page 28 our IASCI Award for Consumer Satisfaction, RGE awarded in the South, and CPFL Paulista awarded as the best Brazilian company with this index. In addition, we maintain our position as the model company for the Exame Sustainability Guide for another year, above the average, 9.5% for transparency versus 5% other companies, and socioeconomic performance 9.1 versus 6.2, which is the average of other companies. And lastly, when it comes to the evaluation of our corporate risk management and internal controls, and also our security system in our data center, we were certified by ISO 9001 for corporate management and ISO 27001 as the first company to have this certification. I'm sorry I spoke so much. We had an hour to show our earnings, but naturally because of IFRS, it was important to make all those remarks. And my team and myself are here willing to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, now we are going to start our Q&A session. Please press star 1 for questions. If you want to remove your question from the queue, star 2. Our first question comes from Mr. Max Severini from Itaú BBA. Good morning, Wilson. Good morning, everybody. Wilson, I would like to focus on our talk about your generation. Leaving aside the HPPs, let's focus on the renewables projects where you have been quite successful, first with biomass plants and more recently with the wind farms. I saw that you have 368 megawatts, part already sold, and another part you're focusing on the free market. As far as I see, you have 43% load factor in these 150 megawatts. The load factor that you show here, is it P90, P50, or what? And secondly, I would like to understand what we could expect in terms of your portfolio pipeline for wind generation from now on. Could we expect the same growth pace? Maybe you could accelerate a little bit more, taking advantage of the site that you already have and installing these new wind plants. And also, could you please, Wilson, tell us about your CAPEX? The market is very much divided. When we talk about wind energy, I see some people saying that the prices for turbines and the CAPEX in general could be even lower than the one we saw in the auctions of last year. Other companies say that their CAPEX has already reached the minimum, and they already see some pressure on the price of turbine prices in the international market for wind generation? And lastly, could you update us about the supply and demand situation? There seems to be a surplus of energy, but on the other hand, we see that the thermals that were auctioned in 2008 show some delays in their startup, and there are doubts if they will ever start up. Santo Antônio, in terms of construction of the transmission lines and delays. So could you give us a big picture of your view of supply and demand and energy prices, and what would be impact on renewable energies?
Okay, Severino, thank you very much for your question. Talking, first of all, about your first question, 50 or 90. 50 is more rugged. It is safer. This is why ours is 50. Regarding the source, if we consider the level that we are getting to and the capacity factor for these plants, this will be seen more and more, such as it already is in Europe. But in our specific case, fortunately, we are talking about the second generation with high towers, et cetera. So we are talking about a potential for the exploration of wind energy of the same magnitude as the hydro energy. And there is an advantage because it can be done in a shorter term, and this is a major Brazilian advantage because most of our wind farms have a capacity factor higher than 40%. This is not a reality that you see in the U.S. or Europe when they are lower. Where they are lower, yes, I do see a major potential. It is a renewable energy. We are focusing on this source. We started this assessment a couple of years ago, and we are quite sure about our investment and the outcome of these investments. And now with the free market, because of the number of companies that are already focusing on the planet and global heating, and that are looking for alternative and renewable sources of energy, due to the fact that this market is growing very steeply now, we are making this additional investment in the free market. It is true that we had to talk quite extensively in terms of regulation so that assured energy could have a regularization procedure, and this happened late last year in the procedure of measurement that is quite expedited. In a couple of months or 3 months, you have the result or the energy assured. As soon as you have the wind farm ready to go, then you can use it with the free market. It is important to stress that this does not remove from the company the possibility of qualifying this wind farm for the next auctions and also getting into the auctions for reserve energy as well. So I think the source is here to stay. It has already proven its advantages vis-à-vis biomass and other, such as the small hydropower plants. And regarding the last part of your question about the outlook, I would say that we have reached a very low amount, and I was surprised by the last one, and to a major extent, it is related to two elements. One, the improvement in the financing conditions from the first to the second auction, and of course, it has an impact on the final price for energy from these sources. And also, last year, we saw the effect of the decrease in CapEx, and this occurred for a few reasons. And of course, if you have a more clear outlook vis-à-vis the source for the future, then the plans can be made according to these demands, and you, of course, have the outlook for scale and also for the regular convening of auctions, and also due to the fact that the world crisis has placed an excess supply because of the cancellation either the cancellation or the less bullish expectation for the use of these turbines in Europe because of the financial crisis. So we benefited from the crisis, in fact. And if we compare the Brazilian figures to the rest of the world, we can see that we have reached a very good situation already price-wise. I do not believe that there will be a change in these figures. Quite the opposite. I believe that they will be further corrected, so to say. And because of that, the source has major advantages, at least 10% advantage vis-a-vis biomass or small power plants, SHPs. I believe that our energy mix will benefit from this source, and we see many manifestations from the ministry and regarding the ongoing use of this energy and more auctions for wind energy. I think everything makes us bullish about that. And finally, your last question has to do with the supply and demand situation. In our assessment, we still have a surplus, less for 2011. We have about 0.3% surplus, and this goes up to 0.6, and it reaches 5% in 2014 or 13, when Santo Antônio and Jirau will be operating. I would like to remind you that besides our own projects, very soon we will see Estreito coming on board, and in the fourth quarter, we already see a slowdown in the growth pace of two digits that we saw mainly in the industrial area. So I would say that this is compatible, and we do not see any kind of risk regarding supply of energy for the foreseeable future. I think I have already answered all your questions. One last question, if you allow me. We see some companies with an interesting pipeline for wind energy. Is it part of your strategy to analyze the possibility for acquisitions? Some of these companies really need funding to go ahead with their projects. Of course, the assessment of assets is always in our radar screen, and undoubtedly we pay keen attention to all this. However, it is also true that we develop our own wind farms ourselves, so we do have our partnerships with our suppliers so that we may be very competitive in future wind farms. And in this case, due to the funding conditions, the final price becomes more competitive than the assets already placed. But of course, opportunities are always analyzed by our company. Thank you, Wilson. Our next question comes from Sergio Tanashiro from Safra Bank. Good morning, Wilson. Still about generation. You talked about the third quarter and the EBITDA. You had energy purchases due to the delay of your projects of Foz do Chapecó and Epasa of 41 million reais. How much would the adjusted EBITDA be if you had these two plants started up? Because in the energy purchase, that wouldn't have existed, and also the impact on the sale of energy. And the second question, still looking from the wind energy side, what is the rationale that you see in the free market if the buyer has some kind of incentive to buy energy? It really doesn't matter whether they are going to buy hydro energy or wind energy, because hydro is even cheaper. So is there any advantage tax-wise? What would be your competitive advantage, because the other hydropower plants are selling at less than 100 reals? Sergio, I cannot tell you the exact figures right now, and then, Sergio, we'll talk to you later, and we'll give you details about that. And what I believe that is important to consider, especially in the case of Foz do Chapecó, about the normalized EBITDA or adjusted EBITDA. I don't usually do that, but I only say that the company on average works with an EBITDA margin for the projects which is higher than 80% in the specific case of Foz do Chapecó, and the information, the data are public regarding revenues. We would have an expected revenue for the project on our side higher than 250 million reals with an EBITDA proportional to 200. In the case of EPASA, the expected revenue 87 million and rental and the EBITDA margin would be higher than 80%. It would be on a lease basis. And because of that, I said that our EBITDA would be higher than 1 billion reals. And the effects of the purchase of energy from Foz do Chapecó, of course, is not in our business plan because we had our project up to the beginning of the year. It was really in advance, but there was a difficulty because of the Burma strike, mainly, to obtain the license on a timely basis. And this is why we had about 40 days delay in our startup, and we had to acquire energy. And it advanced throughout October, and it was recognized in the third quarter. In the case of EPASA, it's different because it was part of our business plan already, and we were internally working with the outlook for October, but we knew that, and we signed contracts since the inception to supply our exposure, or to offset our exposure to the market. And additionally, in November and December, we had an additional acquisition to offset the difference. But Gustavo will be able to give you more details about that. But it is certain that, as all of them have specific PPAs, the amount will be higher than that. And about your second question, in what regards incentives to consumers, let me tell you something. Higher than 3 megawatts, consumers are potentially free, and these consumers only use one type of energy in the free market, which is the energy coming from the large power plants. But there is another kind, the special consumers, as we call them, who have installed power. The contracted demand between 500 kilowatts and 3 megawatts. And these are the ones that can become free, provided they use for this purpose the so-called special energy or alternative energy that stems from a project of biomass and wind energy and SPPs. And what kind of incentive do they have? In terms of prices, none whatsoever. From the viewpoint of the use of the distribution grid, such as any other free consumer of high voltage, you know that the cost of maintenance is lower than the medium voltage because of the components that you have in the medium voltage. So for these consumers, it is like a discount depending on the source, and the discount for these sources, it could get to up to 50%. So with this 50% discount in the use of the grid, the energy becomes competitive for this consumer to leave the platform of the distribution company and go to this one. So there could be a small advantage, a small financial advantage, I mean. And, of course, here we have a whole set of strategies related to the new economy and low carbon and so on and so forth. But this is the only incentive that they have. The source that you referred to, that is to say the HPPs, the large HPPs, I would like to remind you that they have a lower price for 70% of their production having to do with the captive market. That is to say whatever is acquired by distribution companies that will get into a mix with more expensive things such as such as Itaipu, Generation Plus, sources that were sold before. So it's going to get into a mix with pro-info, and the captive consumer has the advantage of the new sources and also the disadvantage of investments that were made before and that have higher costs. So if you take the average amount that distribution companies have in energy purchased, it is around 125 to 130 megawatts. Reais megawatt hour. So in some cases, you have the proxy of the so-called free energy of the large project. You referred to Telespeed, which was 158, and the amount that they will have for the free market Belamonte, Santo Antônio, Giro will be higher than the price for the captive market. And how much higher? It has to be close to the average value that you have at the distribution end in order to deliver to the whole market. I would say quite surely that this is why there is an expectation of amounts for Santo Antônio and Girau around 120, 130, and even 140 reais, because this is the figure depending on the concessionaries that they have in their captive market accounts that would be fully transferred to consumers if they were participating in the captive platform. So large consumers higher than 3 megawatts, they do not have any grid discount. They are going to pay the cost that is being incurred by the distribution company. And on the other hand, they will have the advantage for the energy commodity, and that will have to be comparable to these immediate amounts, that is to say 120, 130, and the outlook for future figures in a five-year horizon. In the case of the so-called special consumers, they might have an advantage on the commodity side because of the prices that I mentioned, plus the additional 50% discount in the TUSD. In the wind farms in Rio Grande do Norte, I believe you will be selling to the southeast region. Do you run any market risk? Well, that's not the idea. There are many consumers who are average size consumers, and the volume of demand is much higher in all regions, the Northeast included. You have large groups. I'm going to give you one example. Supermarket chains that use it and that have large facilities and also shopping centers, shopping malls in the Northeast. The idea is not to take a market risk at all. Our next question, Mr. Vinicius Canheto from Credit Suisse. Wilson, good morning. Thank you for the call. In your guidance for CAPEX for the next few years, we see a considerable increase vis-a-vis the figures for the third quarter of 2010 that you submitted as guidance. In generation, the new wind farms, adjusting for that, there is a considerable increase, not only in generation, but in distribution as well. So we would like to understand why you have this increase. Is it because of an acquisition of grid or what? Why do you have this hike in your CAPEX? Vinicius, the main reason in generation are the new wind farms, 600 million reais. Compared to the previous plan, besides the 127, which is the investment in the wind farm that we won the auction. Besides, we have investments in biomass, and you can see a variation of 130 million reais vis-a-vis last year in distribution as well, and part is because of the price convention from 2008 to 2010, December. And the second reason has to do with the increase in the number of consumers added. This is not so important, but added also to the merger with private grids. And we had a project approved by the agency to include all private networks of consumers to our area. And also, as I showed you last quarter and today, about the automation of the grids. These are important in order to increase productivity to be considered for the next tariff review cycle. So the 130, 140 million reals have to do with the increase in consumers' price correction or restatement and grid automation and in the inclusion of other networks. You will see some details in the presentation about the impact of these costs. I remember that in the last presentation this was broken down, but I would like to know if there is an additional merger or inclusion of other networks in the guidance. We didn't have this inclusion, and in this guidance we do have this inclusion of private, small private networks, okay? Now we would like to close our Q&A session. I would like to give the floor back to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. for his final remarks. Very well, now we have a challenge ahead of us, the challenge to follow the results based on the new IFRS standards. And of all measures that we took, one that concerns us in the good sense, that is to have the evaluation of the recurrent events, and more specifically the effects that will be added to our results, stemming from the so-called regulatory assets and liabilities at the date or on the date they occur. This is the major challenge for us, to have the recurrent value for the concessions and the future impact. And on the other hand, I would like to stress our very positive view, be it regarding the market, be it the market growth on a consistent and sustainable basis, and of course the positive impact that it will have on the distribution platform of the group, and namely in the concession areas where we operate. We have benefited from this growth, and our figures are evidence of that. And in the distribution assets, the more recent manifestations from the agency vis-a-vis the contributions that were sent by the agents and by society in what regards the third cycle of tariff reviews. I understand that obtaining time for a more in-depth evaluation, this really shows the capacity and the interest of the regulator in this theme that is so relevant for the sector and very important for the consolidation situation. And on generation, on the generation side, I would like to say that we are very much pleased to be able to increase our renewable energy platform with investments in wind energy and a pipeline that we are evaluating for both biomass and SPPs. We have been focusing on that, and in installed capacity it does not replace our ambition vis-a-vis large projects, but in additional value and created value it does bring about important possibilities. And also I would like to refer to the moment of the Brazilian market, mainly the free market, and due to the magnitude and to the recovery of the Brazilian economy, these services are very much used, and we see that in the number of free consumers and also their demand for added value services. And because of all that, we are very bullish. Of course, there is a challenge on a quarterly basis. We must have the adequate practice based on the new accounting model. We have to report based on the IFRS standard. But I think it is overall very bullish, and it will become easier to compare companies, and we are a company listed abroad, and this facilitates our work. And I would like to close by my remarks saying that it was a great pleasure to have you participating in this conference call, and we expect to count on your presence in our APIMEC in São Paulo and Rio and others. Thank you very much for your attention. The CPFL Energy Conference call is closed. We thank you very much for your participation and wish you all a very good afternoon. Thank you.